scripture reading taken from Daniel 4th chapter. I'll be reading verses 28, 29, and 30. All this came upon King Epiphanius. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?"
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 4 this evening. If you'll turn your Bibles over there, that's our book of the month. And last time we looked at Daniel chapter 1, and we got to see a little bit of what Daniel and some of his Hebrew companions are kind of going through as they are facing challenges in another nation, a nation that is not really partial to their God, and they are kind of trying to make adjustments and live a faithful life. And we see in chapter 1 they have some challenges that they face as really the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar is trying to kind of indoctrinate them, assimilate them to a Babylonian culture. And then really, as you see Daniel unfold, those first six chapters are really, I would say, they're very action-packed. They have a whole lot going on. We see the capturing of Daniel and the deporting that ends up with Daniel and his companions in Babylon, and we see them being educated in the ways of Babylon. And then we get to chapter 2, and King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and a very significant dream, the dream of a statue. And Daniel's going to tell him what all the parts of the statue mean and really have significance, I believe, to the New Testament church, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And what a powerful visual that is, all these great physical kingdoms, but yet there's going to be this stone, this rock that comes, and really is going to break up this statue, and we're going to have a kingdom that will never be destroyed, more powerful than all those kingdoms, and I believe that kingdom to be the church. And I think we kind of see that in chapter 2. And Daniel, we start to see that he starts to gain some favor because of this dream, and then as we kind of continue on, there are other things that happen. In chapter 3, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the situation they get into because they will not bow down to the statue that the king has put in front of them. And we see that whole situation. I want to pick up in chapter 4. I mean, there's just so much in the book. We can only focus on so much, but I want to focus on chapter 4. And really what we see here is King Nebuchadnezzar, as best I can pronounce it, in chapter 4, is that we have a second dream. And the second dream, we could read through all of it, and we can see that King Nebuchadnezzar is very disturbed by this dream. But what we're going to do is we're going to see a king go from pride to humility. And King Nebuchadnezzar's journey from pride to humility, I would suggest, is not very much different than ours. I think typically at some time in our life, we have something in our life where we journey from pride to humility. We as humans have a way of becoming very prideful, and many times leave God out of the equation. And this could be in various aspects of our life, but certainly we're going to see King Nebuchadnezzar and his pride, his fall, and really him being brought to humility. And it's really all of chapter 4. Like I said, we cannot focus on everything, but we certainly want to get into what's going on. So King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he tells the dream, ends up being told to Daniel, and Daniel's going to give him the interpretation. And I'm going to start in verse 19. We've already had the dream. King Nebuchadnezzar is bothered very much by the dream, and we're going to see that Daniel is going to start to interpret this second dream to him. We see verse 19. So then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you." Belteshazzar answered and said, "My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies." So Daniel's about to interpret the dream, and it seems like Daniel's bothered by it. Daniel's Babylonian name is Belteshazzar, which is mentioned there. So it's almost like Daniel's bothered by the interpretation to some degree. And the king says, "Well, just let me hear it. Just let me hear what this dream is all about." In verse 20, it says, "A tree The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heaven, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruits abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who has grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reached to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and its root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him dig a grave with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men, your dwelling will be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you, after you come to know heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins of being by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. I know there's a whole lot there, but King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has had a second dream. Daniel already interpreted the first one, and now King Nebuchadnezzar has a second dream. It is about a huge tree, and this huge tree is very fruitful. This huge tree gives shade. This huge tree is mighty and powerful, and Daniel says, the tree is you. King Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is great, powerful, a lot of dominion. Your kingdom has a lot of reach, and it does a lot of good things in terms of people having a livelihood. But he says that someone came down from heaven and says, chop that tree down. And then we have the picture of really, we understand that the king is a tree, the king is going to be chopped down and brought low, and he is going to become like an animal. And he is going to run around and be like an animal for a period of time. And how long is this going to be until the king understands that God rules, that heaven rules? How much does it take to humble you? I think pride is a problem that many humans have. And sometimes we have pride in this area or this area or this area. You have a problem with pride. Now, pride can show up in many different ways. Pride can show up in religion very quickly and very easily. Pride can show up in your life when you say, you know what, I don't need God, I don't want God. And you know what, many in our society have that type of attitude. I don't need God, I don't want God. King Nebuchadnezzar is very prideful. He's the ruler of a great nation. And even in the dream, we see that, really, we see this great tree. The idea is the kingdom is great. The kingdom is great in many ways. But God is in control of all things. Daniel, I'm sure, is not, Daniel happened to interpret the dream to the king and say, you know what, you've had a long and pretty good run, but you're about to be chopped down, and you're about to be humbled, and you're about to be brought low. I'm sure that's not the easiest message for Daniel to deliver, but he delivers it. And after he delivers it, look what he says to the king. In verse 27, he says, therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. When are you in most danger of being prideful? When are you most vulnerable to being prideful? I think it's when you're in prosperity. When are you in most danger of being prideful? I think it's when you're in prosperity. King Nebuchadnezzar was very prosperous. And in this state of prosperity, he's become, I believe, very arrogant, very prideful, and in many ways, I think he says, I don't need God. In fact, as we continue on in the passage, and we start to look at some of the things that he's going to say. Look at verses 28 and following. It says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12th month. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? When is King Nebuchadnezzar at his most prideful? When he's walking around the palace. He's walking around the palace, he's looking over his kingdom, he's got everything taken care of, living a rich and prosperous life. And look at this statement, he says, it's walking about the royal palace of Babylon, the king spoke saying, is not this Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? It's almost like I. You leave God out of the equation. You leave God out of your successes. You leave God out of things that are going well in your life. Have you forgotten about God? King Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't want to acknowledge God. He wants to acknowledge I. He's very prideful. And we are most danger. I think we're most in danger to the sin of pride when we're in prosperity. I think we're in most danger to fall victim to pride, to fall victim to arrogance when we're in prosperity, when everything's going well, when we're successful. You know what happened to the Israelites? That's why we're in Babylon in the first place. Because Moses warned them. Moses warned them when they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they were about to go into the promised land. Moses had multiple warnings to the people. Don't forget God. Don't become prideful. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land and become so prideful that God has to use other nations to discipline them. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, it says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewed out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Moses warned the Israelites. He said, you're going to go into the promised land, and you know what you're going to have in the promised land? You're going to have prosperity. You're going to have beautiful homes. You're going to be full. You're going to have wells that you didn't dig. You're going to have it easy in many respects. You are going to be prosperous. And when we are prosperous, that is when we are at most, we are most vulnerable to pride. I think we see with King Nebuchadnezzar. He's not going to say this when he's running around the field. He's not going to say, look at this great Babylon when he's running around the field. He says it when he's walking around the palace. We are most prideful when we are in prosperity. And you know what? God wants a humble people. In fact, humility draws us closer to God, and pride keeps us away from God. Because pride, many times, takes this form. I don't need God, and I don't want to listen to God. You know why? Because life's going well without it. I don't need God. And Nebuchadnezzar, in the palaces of Babylon, that's what he's saying. But you know, a people that draws close to God is a humble people. Pride gets in the way with our relationship with God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Of course, we have this falling of the Israelites. The Israelites make it into the promised land. They have all this prosperity. They have all these good things. And slowly but surely, their worship is corrupted. Their morality is corrupted. And they start falling away from God. And they get to a point where God says, no, I got to deal with this. And he deals with it with the nation of Assyria. And he deals with it with Babylon. And he disciplines his people to try to turn them back to God and be faithful. You know, I've spoken about this many times, but I do think in America we have a challenge that's different than other challenges. Christians in America have a different challenge than Christians in India. than Christians in Africa. We have brothers and sisters of Christ in all nations. One of our great challenges, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we're walking around the palace of the Babylon. We're walking around, many of us, I know not all of us, I know some of us have hard and adverse situations in terms of financial, but many of us, if you take us and you transplant us and you compare us to Christians in other areas of the world, they're looking at us and they're like, you got a vehicle to drive? You got food on the table? You've got home? You're prosperous. Here's the challenge, I believe, for Christians in America, is that when we're in prosperity, how is our relationship with God? Because many people, when they're in prosperity, they run away from God, and they say, I, look what I built. Look at this wonderful house. Look at Babylon. Look how great this is. Look at what I did. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar is saying. The danger zone for pride is prosperity, and it can lead us away from God quicker than so many things. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, I think it talks about one of these great challenges. I think there's a challenge to be poor, but certainly there's a challenge to be rich. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, it says, two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Now, we could focus on the poverty, but we're really focusing on the other side right now. Wait. Why in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7, why is there a caution of being rich? It says, feed me the food that's allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Is that not what Nebuchadnezzar is doing on his front porch? Who is the Lord? I am the Lord. Look at these things that I've done. Look at these things that I've accomplished. I am great. I am successful. Look at all these things. I will be remembered from time over and over again. It's very prideful. And I think his prosperity has led to that pride. You know, I think we become prideful over some of the most foolish things. When you consider that God has given us life, breath, and all things in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. God's given us life, breath, and all things. I don't know if there's too many things I can be too awfully proud about, because just like that, it can all be taken away. Life, breath, and all things. That's what God has given us. But people become very prideful over foolish things. Things that are passing away. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you can carry nothing out. Am I going to be prideful about my material possessions? God gives me life, breath, and all things. I don't think there's too much that I can brag about or be prideful about. God's given me all things. And everything I have is because of God. And see, Nebuchadnezzar can't say that. Nebuchadnezzar on his front porch, he can't bring himself to say that. He says, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. And we can just see that pride and that prosperity. And God's going to take it away. You know, that's a pattern in the Bible. I think sometimes people miss it from time to time. But there's a pattern in the Bible. There's pride, and then there's the fall. And we're going to see that Nebuchadnezzar is going to fall here. You know, God is after a humble people. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is a problem, and it's one that we must all try to avoid to the best of our ability. But let's see the fall of King Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, verses 31 through 33, we see some of this fall that's going to happen. The tree is going to be cut down. The king is going to be brought low. Verses 31 and following, it says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, he's bragging about everything. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like ox, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Talk about the high to low. You think you're something special? Your house can be gone like that. A lot of people have pride in their home. Your vehicles can be gone like that. Your health can be gone like that. People's lives can change in an instant. And you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar's life went from high to low. You know, pride comes first, but then the fall. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's a pattern in the Bible. It's well established. You get too prideful, God might let it go for a certain amount of time, but eventually there is a fall. And it might not be on this plane of life. That's possible. But it'll certainly be in the next. Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. God's looking for a humble people. But what does God have to do to bring you down? What's God got to do to get it through in your mind that you're not all that? What's got to happen to you, to a loved one, to someone around you? Well, what's got to happen in life for you to acknowledge that I need God desperately? And to turn away from God and to think that I'm something special that doesn't need God is a travesty. And if you don't think it can happen to you, just look through history. It happened with God's people. Why are God's people in Babylon? Because they were prideful and they said, God, we're not going to remember you. We're not going to worship you the way that you want to be worshiped. We're not going to keep your morality. We don't need you, God. You know why? Because everything's going great. We're successful. We don't need you. You know, a real test of a Christian is actually giving some prosperity. I heard it said about athletes one time, give an athlete everything that they want. Give them the money, give them the prestige, give them the fame, and see if they go after that fame with the same drive and the same work ethic as they did when they didn't have anything. Because you know what? You see it sometimes with those pro athletes. Those pro athletes, they work so very hard, and then they just get that first seat on that bench or that professional team, get paid all of this dollars, then all of a sudden they lose something. They lose some type of fire. They lose some type of desire there. Give a Christian everything. And see if they'll stay faithful to God. It's a challenge for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we live in the land of prosperity. I think in many ways we kind of have our own little fortress of Babylon. And we've got to be careful that pride does not bite us. And that we acknowledge God every step of our lives. And we acknowledge God through the ups and downs, just as Job did. Job had a good life, had a prosperous life, and then, you know what, he went to rock bottom, and he was still faithful to God. Faithful to God in the up and the down. Pride, then the fall. You can see it so many times. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, but Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. How long Pharaoh was. And we see as a series of 10 plagues that I think really broke Pharaoh in many respects. As he got to see all the things that his people endured, and I think even his household endured through that process. There's pride, and then there's the fall. And certainly we see that pattern throughout the Bible, and we have to be careful that we don't fall into such a pattern. Pride leads us away from God. You think about the prodigal son. What really drove the prodigal son away from his father? Why did the prodigal son move home? I believe because of pride in many respects. The prodigal son said, I got this all together. I don't need you. Just give me a little cash in my pocket. I'll be good. Then he realized, perhaps it's better to have God on your side, your father on your side. We see the pride of King Nebuchadnezzar. We see the fall of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then we're going to see the response. Let's look at verses 34 through 37. Nebuchadnezzar is going to respond to this. King of Babylon brought down in a very humbling way, verses 34 through 37. It says, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him to live forever. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are rebuked as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are true, and his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. You know, you think about Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37, that's a lesson all to itself. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. You should be careful the way that you walk. I should be careful the way that I walk too. And I think in America, perhaps we have a challenge that we don't acknowledge from time to time. Is that I think many of us are like King Nebuchadnezzar on the forts of Babylon. Many of us are blessed in so many ways. And I think there's a challenge for a follower of God in such a situation is stay humble. Acknowledge God every step of the way. Acknowledge God in the morning with your prayers. Acknowledge God in the evening with your prayers. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Stay humble because we need God. We need God. Nebuchadnezzar needed God. He just needed a situation in his life to remind him of that. But pride is a trap. You know, it's a trap that sometimes can even sneak into the church. There's actually a church that falls this trap in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. It's actually talking about the lukewarm church, but here's just one verse from this written to a church. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The lukewarm church here, the church of Laodicea, these people are saying, look, we're rich, we're wealthy, we have everything that we need. And the letter says, God says, you don't even understand. You're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Because if we don't have God, we don't have anything. Perhaps you're in a situation where you realize you need to make your relationship right with God. You've walked off that straight and narrow path and you need to come back. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. We'd love to help you in any way we can. Don't let pride hold you back. Do what God wants you to do, what you need to do, because without God, we are nothing. If you're subject to invitation, answer, please come as we stand, as we sing.